Psalm 121, and we're going to read the whole psalm beginning at verse number 1. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your love for us. We thank you for your word and the hope and comfort it gives to us. And we just pray you bless this morning. May we be challenged by your word to lift up our eyes and look to you for the help we need in this challenging time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we are in challenging times. The danger of the COVID-19 virus still hangs over us, and while here in Saskatchewan we're doing well in flattening the curve and may soon be starting to reopen parts of our economy, we know that we're going to have a long, rough road ahead. Many people are out of work, and there are so many sectors of our economy and our society that have been affected, not only by this pandemic, but by the various measures taken to control its spread. It's going to take some time before life returns to normal. Indeed, it may never fully return to the old normal. We may just have a new normal that we'll have to try and adapt to as best that we can. In these trying times, there are things we are looking for that we need and that we are struggling to find. And no, I'm not meaning toilet paper or flour or other grocery items. It is things that are more intangible, but much more important. We think that we're looking for wisdom as to how to navigate through these challenging times. We are looking for stability in a world in which it seems that most of the foundations of our lives have been shaken to the core. We are looking for relief, not merely from the financial challenges this time has brought, but also from the fear and worry that seems to cascade over us. We look for peace. We look for comfort. We look for hope that we're going to be okay, that we're going to be able to pay our bills, that we're going to get through all of this. We need these intangible things as much, if not more, than those household staples. The problem is, while the grocery stores and the truckers have done a tremendous job of keeping stores stocked and supplying the demand, these essential intangibles are in very short supply, and we struggle to know where to find them. Where do we look to find wisdom, stability, relief, peace, comfort, and hope in these challenging times? We have a pattern we tend to follow, which has in certain situations seemed to work for us in times past, but in these times we are quickly realizing it is not going to provide us with the help that we need. There is a song, not a particularly good one, titled Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And in these things we seek wisdom, stability, relief, peace, comfort, and hope. We often end up looking for them in all the wrong places. We first look within. We want to believe we possess the wisdom, strength, and resources to solve our own problems and extricate ourselves out of whatever challenge we have gotten ourselves into. We want to do things our way. We want to come up with our own solution. Mostly because we want to be able to take the credit for our success, however that is measured. Our pride prevents us from asking for or even admitting that we might need help. We just need to find the right self-help book or video that will enable us to make the right decisions that will put us on the path forward. and we'll be okay. But in times such as these, we are beginning to realize that we're not okay. The problem we face is much bigger than us, and there is very little that we can do to change it. We have limited resources, and we can try to find what we seek within, but in the situation we're all in now, whatever reserves we may have had, whether it be financial, physical, mental, or emotional, are being depleted, even exhausted. We can't do this alone. We need to look outside of ourselves. And this time of isolation from others has punctuated that truth. We have physical, mental, and emotional needs that we cannot meet by ourselves. We need social contact and human interaction. And we're using now whatever technological resources we have to make and to maintain vital connections with one another. So realizing that we need to look outside of ourselves is an important step. But we tend to go from looking within us to looking around us. We look for people around us, family, friends, and community to help us during this time. And yet, while it's good and wise for us to seek to be mutually supportive of one another, we realize that there are limitations as to how much we can rely on others to give us what we're looking for. We're all in the same boat here. Everybody is struggling, not only financially, but mentally and emotionally as well. Many might want to help us, but have nothing to give. That they are as much in need of wisdom, stability, relief, peace, comfort, and hope as we are. Some might be willing but unable to help us. Others might be able but unwilling. And if we're expecting others in the same situation as we are to provide us those intangible essentials we are looking for, we are going to be disappointed. Of course, during this time, many of us turn to the government as our source of stability, hope, and relief. And certainly they're doing the best they can, and they're rolling out various programs intended to provide some relief and stability to those of us that are struggling. But nevertheless, we realize as well that the government coffers are not a bottomless pit. And the wisdom the government has to bring us through this is not the deep pond we might hope it to be. We realize in confronting this threat of COVID-19, many of the so-called experts the government relied upon got it wrong. And much of the information they initially provided was incorrect and misleading. Furthermore, with the gears of bureaucracy moving so slowly, we are unsure if the relief promised will even get to us in the time that we need it. As well, we recognize, too, that often politicians are more concerned with virtue signaling or pushing their own agenda or covering up their mistakes than they are with showing real leadership and making the tough but necessary decisions. And often the solutions that they provide make the problem worse, not better. If we are looking to our government to be our savior during this time, we're going to be sorely disappointed. But during this time as well, many of us are glued to the news or keeping up with social media, looking for some source of comfort or hope or wisdom during this trying time. But there is so much conflicting information coming out that we don't know who to believe. And again, the reports they give are not good ones. We might be watching TV or going online looking for wisdom and stability and relief and peace and comfort and hope. But too often we're finding the opposite. We're finding confusion. We're finding upheaval. We're finding fear and panic and despair. And thus, when we've looked within ourselves and we've looked around ourselves, and we fail to find what we're looking for, we often tend to look beneath. At this stage, we aren't expecting to find all that we seek, but at least we can get some measure of temporary relief. We figure that's the best that we can do. We turn to various substances and various vices to alter our moods or provide us with a means of escape from our problems, even if it's just for a moment. Whatever it takes to get us through this time, it doesn't matter. Yet in the back of our minds, we realize that we're not making things better. We're making things worse for us. That we're building in bad habits and addictive behavior that are going to plague us long after this time has passed and will drag us down rather than raise us up. And so when we find ourselves in this situation where we've looked within us, we've looked all around us, yet we have not found what we truly need and are seeking for, we can come to a place of desperation and despair. But yet even in these most challenging circumstances, there is a source from which we can find wisdom, stability, relief, peace, comfort, and hope that we need and that we long for. And we haven't found it because there is one direction we have failed to look. Or perhaps it is one direction in which we've refused to look, and that is upward. We need to lift up our eyes. We need to raise our gaze. We need to look to God for the help that we need. The writer of Psalm 121 had learned this lesson. It is a lesson we all need to learn as well. The sooner, the better. There is so much wisdom, stability, relief, peace, comfort, and hope that we've missed out on because we exhaust every other possible source before we turn to the one true source. If left to our own wisdom and devices, humanity as a whole would destroy itself. Indeed, the mistakes made that enabled this virus to spread across the globe are a case in point. We need wisdom. We need relief from this situation. We need some hope. And we need God to help us. He is the only one who can. We must lift up our eyes unto the Lord who made heaven and earth, the one who keeps us, the one who doesn't sleep, that is watching over us and protecting us, preserving us, as it speaks of in this passage. That's what we need, that He is the one who can bring deliverance to us all. Now we see elsewhere in the scripture the same thought. Just a page over to Psalm 123, we see these words. It says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us." And so we pray to the Lord and we look to Him because we know we need His mercy. We need His help. That we make a lot of mistakes and we need, we try to fix it ourselves. Sometimes our fixes make it worse and we need God to help. We need Him to show mercy to us as individuals, as nations. As well, we read the testimony of David in Psalm 142. He says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I have walked, they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." And like David, I think all of us can get to a point where we're overwhelmed with everything that's going on. But yet in those times, you know, God knows where we're at and He's there ready to help us. That sometimes we can look around and think, well, there's friends and others that can help me. But we find that sometimes. Those we think are friends turned out not to be the friends we thought they were. Some want to maybe help, but they don't have the resources and too ashamed to admit that. And it seems sometimes that where we really are struggling, that no one really understands, no one really cares, but we know that God does, and we know that He can help us. We see verse 5 there. It says, "I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." That He is our refuge, that we can cry unto Him and He will hear us. We read as well in Psalm 146, verses 3 to 5, it says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." And that's what we realize, that we can look to men to be our deliverers, be the ones that are going to solve our problems. But we want to realize is that they can't give us the help they need. They might try, they might noble in what they desire to help us in, but we need God's help, and we need to put our hope in Him. And we see this thought carried throughout the Scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah 45 and verse 20, it says, "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save." That in our day, we don't make gods to worship out of wood and stone as they did in times past. But in many ways, we set up gods in our lives that we're going to hope will deliver us in times of trouble. We have these different things to provide us security and other things, and think that we'll be okay. Sometimes our God is the almighty dollar. But we find, I think especially in this time, when we've been trusting in them, we're praying to gods that can't save us. They can't really help us. We see the picture given in the next chapter, Isaiah 46, where it gives this picture of these idols, Bel and Nebo, that these men are carrying these heavy idols away. They're loading them on their carts, and they're trying to flee from an invading army. And they're basically praying to the gods that they're loading onto these carts to save them from what is coming. And we find not only can their gods not help them, that they're burdening down the cart, so it makes it harder for the oxen to pull it, so that slows them down and ensures that they are overtaken by those that seek to bring them into captivity. And the great contrast is given from that to the one true God of heaven and earth. Verse 3 says, "Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and will deliver you." That it's the thought that we don't carry God, that God carries us. And it's from when we're infants, straight from the womb, to the very final years of our lives. We're old and gray-headed, that He carries us. That He gives us the help and support that we need. And so that's why God Himself declares to us all in Isaiah 45 and verse 22, where He says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." That He is the one that can help us. He is the one we need to look to. That all these other things that we trust in and other people, we need to realize when we really need help, or we really need hope, we're not going to find it in any other place than in God Himself. We see as well in Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning in verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land, and not inhabit it." That we see that when we make flesh our arm, we trust in man, we're going to not have what we need. That we're going to be in a place that is, we're going to be physically and emotionally and mentally parched. But then we see the contrast, verses 7-8. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now we see that when we put our trust in the Lord, we put our hope in Him, that we have a stability, we have our needs are met, and we can be fruitful, that we can have an abundant life because our hope and our trust is in the Lord Himself. We see as well in the prophecy of Micah, Micah chapter 7, that in this passage Micah describes a situation not that much unlike our own. That he talks about that he's looking for someone to trust, someone that he can rely upon, and he's struggling to find it. He's finding that the good man's perished out of the earth. He finds people seem to want to do evil with both hands earnestly. He says, trust not in a friend, put not confidence in a guide. He even says of his own family that it seemed that he had enemies, that they weren't there to help him, than to hurt him. But we see what he says in verse 7. He says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And it's the thought that we can have, is that we look to Him. We wait for Him. We wait on Him. That we say, okay, that if I'm going to get the help I need, that I need to go to the source. That others can help me in different ways, but it's really only as God enables them to do so, that they are vessels in His hand often. But ultimately, we look to God as being the one that knows our needs, the one that when we're in trouble, He's going to hear us. It isn't something where we put in an application and we have to go through two or three different bureaucrats to hopefully in 6 to 8 weeks get an answer. That we look to the Lord, we wait on Him, and we know He's going to hear us, we know that He can answer us, that He is a very present help in time of trouble. And so, as individuals and as a nation, we need to be lifting up our eyes in faith unto the God of heaven and earth. That He is the source of all wisdom. That we read in Proverbs of how He has laid wisdom up in store for us. It speaks of in James that if we lack wisdom, that we can ask of God and He will give to all men liberally. That we think as well when we seek stability, that God is our rock, our fortress, that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, that He is a sure foundation upon which we can build our lives. When we're burdened down with care, seeking relief, that we know that He calls us to cast all our care upon Him, that He cares for us, that He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we think as well that He is the God of peace, that He can give to us a peace that is like a river, a peace that can rule our hearts, a peace that passes all understanding, that can keep our hearts and minds in troublesome times. As well, He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. And as well, He is the God of hope, who can fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In God we find help. In God we find mercy. In God we find deliverance and salvation. And when we call unto Him and wait upon Him in faith, we know that He will hear us, He will answer us. He will preserve us from this time forth and forevermore. And our circumstances may not be looking up right now, but we need to be looking up. We need to lift up our eyes in faith and look to God to help us through the days ahead. And my prayer is for each of us that we would learn to do this, and that this would become the new pattern of our lives. That before we exhaust all the other possibilities, that we would lift up to the one that we know will help us. That we learn as a nation once again to rely upon the God that has been our help in ages past. May the Lord help all of us that we would lift up our eyes to Him who is our help. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word. We thank You that You are the help that we need. And we just pray You would help us, Lord, to look upon You in faith, to not allow our circumstances to discourage us and drag us down into despair. Instead, Lord, let us look up to You in faith and in hope. May You give us the strength that we need so that we can move forward as individuals and as a nation. Bless us, we pray, as we put our faith and trust in Thee. Pray that You would show mercy to us all. In Jesus' name, amen.